let the bad moments change my mind. I'm freeing my dreams from deep inside. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm just trying to.
Hello, hello. I hope you're having an amazing day. This is Reggie Hammond, your host on the Finding Your Forte talk radio show here on Up to Me Productions. We have a pretty special show planned for you today, and it's a little different. For our show this week, I will actually be the guest on the Going for the Goal show, hosted by Hexagon Outsourcing Group and the iconic host, Aaron White. Now, Aaron and I go way back, in fact, a number of years in the early work we did to help her establish her vision and build her plan through the Finding Your Forte show through the Finding Your Forte program that Your Crescendo makes available to professionals. And Aaron did an amazing job to frame up her vision. And here, some years later, this podcast, Going for the Goal, is one of the products of that vision. So we hope you'll enjoy our show. And with that said, I will let you take a listen. Hope you enjoy it and have an amazing day.
Welcome, everybody. Tonight, I have Mr. Reggie Hammond on Going for the Goal. I'm so happy to be here with him tonight. As you can see, this show is about discovering your purpose and your passion and the impact it has on your business and your life. And so with that, I want to say, and Reggie has shared the video, so now it is on his page, and now I see that. So tonight, just to remind people that are new to my page, new to this broadcast, my name is Aaron White, and I am president and CEO and master strategist of Hexagon Outsourcing Group, where we help you and companies create short-term plans for long-term success. And so tonight, and giving a couple moments for people to join our broadcast, we have Mr. Reggie Hammond of Your Crescendo here with us this evening, and we are delighted to have him, and delighted to have all my guests. But prior, my guests, I've experienced their work kind of outwardly, but I have experienced Mr. Hammond's work firsthand. He was my purpose coach not too long ago. He is who set me on this path to kind of understanding what I am good at, encouraging people, and how I can bring that through my work. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I want to get started on Going for the Goal with Mr. Hammond. I want to let you know, please read the show notes. There is a link there that talks about his marquee program, and that's Finding Your Forte. And it's an incredible program because I've been through it. It's not incredible because I've been through it. It's incredible because it has helped me to be closer to who I am today. And I'm really appreciative of that. So why don't we get started? And you guys know, who have tuned in before, that I typically start bragging on my guests very early. And so I'm going to also read his bio. So please listen, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. Let me tell you right now, that Reggie Hammond is committed to his mission to people, to help people, teams, and organizations live their purpose in their projects, businesses, careers, and lives. He focuses on helping professionals find their forte, and we're going to figure out why he calls it that soon, through optimizing their passions, gifts and strengths, and market rewarding motivations in a way that impacts their purpose and the world around them. He uses this approach to help leaders drive purpose and engagement in their teams and organizations. He also has this to say: he is an empowerer. He is fulfilled by the experience of discovering a person's gifts, passions, and motivation, affirming the work that calls and fulfills them, and navigating with them to opportunities that do work with impact. Isn't that what we really want, all of us? This is their most organic success. It positions them to do what they love to do, what they're good at, and what rewards them. Because we all like the Skrilla, the cheddar, the scratch. He did not put that in there. And our world business and communities are better having received the best that people have to offer. And so that's why I was really excited about talking to Reggie today. This is probably one of the most meaningful and useful, relevant broadcasts that you can actually hear and take some things from. So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to kick it over to Reggie to please tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your crescendo, and I'll kick it off to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for that. Wow, that's a lot to, you know, how do you come behind that? What a generous introduction. As you know, I love you to pieces, and I am so encouraged and inspired in your by your work and watching you take off on this platform. Frankly, I don't think I even saw this platform happening when we were working on your 14th. And so the more that you stepped into it and the conviction in which you have and the excellence, absolute excellence that you've done it, it's just been so inspiring. I had a podcast earlier with another client today. She talked about the importance of community. You know, I've kind of chosen this path because I'm so infectiously inspired and committed to this notion that every single person walking this earth has a purpose, and hey, they have been uniquely gifted to live that purpose. There is something somewhere that they're supposed to be doing, and not just the work of it, but the abundance of the rewards are already sitting there waiting on them to find that thing and to be rewarded and motivated and to have this amazing life of celestial choir singing. You know, the people that go, I can't believe they paid me to do this. Like those experiences, they actually, that's not a thing that's only reserved for a few people. It's for everybody. Yeah. And one of the things I love most about purpose, and I do want to talk a little bit about purpose because it can be an intimidating word to kind of go around. It's aspirational. It can be strategic. I try to make it strategic. You know, one of the things that I've discovered in starting down this journey about, you know, 8 years ago, if you recall, purpose being mentioned in the business context was still a very new thing.
Sure.
It was still a very new thing. And I can tell you from the school of hard knocks, you talk about purpose in the, with some of my former, you know, clients that were CFO that I had the opportunity to drive business transformations. I've always been kind of the business case guy. So, you know, what kind of change can you drive in an organization that will impact the bottom line? And I now knew this thing, this unique opportunity to be able to connect individuals and talent to their purpose and watch that engagement and the business performance take off as a result of it. And they look at you like you got three heads.
Yeah.
If you have lost your bunkers. And that used to be the early reaction, but that is not the case anymore.
That's awesome.
And I'm so excited to watch that transition happen. You know, then you got the popularity of the context. Now, it's amazing to see some of the professional services firms, even if they haven't quite done anything internally to embrace purpose, they embrace it in their marketing because they see that it is inspirational. So from, what you'll see is people start to look to try to figure out how they can connect to people in a meaningful way with purpose. So it's just been a really exciting thing to watch happen. I'm excited that I was able to kind of be on the front end of it. I have some incredible stories like yours. When I'm talking to people about some of those changes, I can't wait to get in and just share some of the stuff that I know that you don't want me to share.
Well, because I was going to let you very quickly know and everyone else that this broadcast is about Reggie. This broadcast is not about me. And so we're going to try to stick to the script and we're going to stick to you, friends. So come on, tell us more about you. I mean it, Reggie.
That was a nice try. That sounded good too. That was really good. Here's what I'm going to say is I think it is best to illustrate purpose by looking it through the lens of an example very close to your listeners.
I can tell you one thing I know for sure. You have many clients. And I'm so proud of the fact that you do have a roster. Some people can't say that they have a roster. Right. You have a roster of clients. I'm going to keep saying that. And so I'm sure that you can choose someone else besides me on your
I can. You're right. But I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about I'll keep it brief. We'll keep it brief. But there's this one story that I think.
Before we get there, Reggie, I need people to know a little bit more about you.
Okay, about me.
What was your career path? Where are you from? Right. How did you get into your crescendo? Let's start there first.
All right, we will. I'm working through some of the same awkwardness that I help clients work through. It just is the telling your own story part. But here we go. So everybody, buckle in and, handle a little, kind of Reggie playing the trumpet of his own band for a second. So this is, the path to this work for me really kind of started young. Like I've always been really connected to helping people in a way that empowers their future. I can talk in my professional career. So, I came through management consulting. I spent amazing and incredibly impactful experience with the illustrious Accenture. That's kind of where I cut my teeth as a professional. So all of the, people often comment about just the level of the caliber of deliverables and the pristine nature which I deliver work all kind of got home through my Accenture experience. I absolutely loved it there. But when I look back at that experience, and I wanted to try to extract for future planning those experiences that really motivated me, I remember the work that I did that wasn't necessarily required of me. And that work was all about empowering people and opportunities in front of them. So as early as just starting, so here I was a new hire, in the Columbus, Ohio office of Accenture. And within a year or so, I was like, I want to be on the recruiting team. And so I would go over to Ohio State. We were, help find the right students that were a good fit for, consulting careers. And for me, it was very personal to be able to help figure out like who are the folks that are very well aligned with, consulting careers. And that's a kind of its own little thing.
Sure. Not everyone, it really is.
Not everyone is kind of cut out for that. Mm-hmm. But then once I found them, then it became a very personal relationship. And some of my closest relationships today started from me walking over to the Ohio State University to find them in recruiting. I'll share one story. There is a guy that now is a really successful insurance agent, but he kind of started out in his career at Accenture as well. And when we met him, he had a really bad stuttering problem. And it was a challenge to convince the people in our HR team that he was, it was possible and quite talented beyond this stuttering problem. And I remember taking on the fight. And when I say the fight, I mean, we are going to do this. This guy has a talent and so taking on that and finally being able to win that, he came through, had an amazing career at Accenture. Do you know now he is a public speaker?
That's incredible. And that's why I'm so happy that you did not give up on him, that we all need that one person. And I think, to your point, you started reflecting your purpose super early on. And if that's a nugget that we can take away from this broadcast, that the listeners can take away, not to interrupt you, that look at what you're doing and look at what you're passionate about now. That's often a foreshadowing of what's to come.
That's exactly it. And I think that if you are intentional about looking back at the things that have been foreshadowed, then you position yourself to get strategic.
That's true. What are you going to get?
Strategic.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm in the company of people that can appreciate being strategic.
I already know where this is going. Like, you are not not opaque at all with what's happening here.
Sorry, it's true. It's true. You know, and there was a identity crisis that I went through early when I started Your Crescendo, when, you remember, I talked about how resistant some people were around the whole message of purpose. Mm-hmm. And being the capitalist pig that I was, and the, you know, the more I wanted to be able to sell work like I was in the consulting world, you know, I was like, well, maybe I should call this something else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I should call it strategy, like personal strategy. And mm-hmm. I remember a client that was going through Finding Your Forte at the time, and she was adamant. Don't you not call this purpose. This is purpose. You need to inspire people to identify the thing that they're called to do. And she right. gave me a good old talking to. And it just kind of goes to show you, sometimes you're called to something that people won't get right away.
Mm.
But when you live in it and you own it and you know that it's something that's been uniquely given to you.
Yeah.
And that you are but the abundance of it is just on the other side of you pushing it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Then you yeah. push. And so, you know, I've dealt with, you know, long-standing, very successful practitioners that have had things. Do you go too heavy with the purpose? Say, no, I'm inspiring people. Yeah. You know, we bring purpose to the workplace, which is not currently is not. You know, when we were talking
it's
about
a small it, supply, yeah,
supply. But we're inspiring workplaces.
Yeah.
We're inspiring leaders yeah. to go beyond just trying to get work out of people, but to be able to understand how it is a mutual benefit for them to understand the work that people are called to do and how that purpose for that person plugs into the mission for that team or for that organization. And so it's been a really incredible experience. I was kind of down this line of telling my story, and hopefully I didn't get too far off. But so I went through consulting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I started to appreciate later in my career was how I developed these really compelling relationships with clients.
Okay.
Not only, clients that, you know, so in consulting, you're sent on a project often out of town, and you develop a relationship with the client that you're responsible for kind of reporting and standing up and making
you
sure.
So clients that, you know, so in consulting, you're sent on a project often.
Did I do something there?
Oh. No, that was me.
Okay. So when you're assigned these clients, you develop a relationship with them. But for me, the relationship always went deeper. It wasn't just about, you know, hitting a successful go live so that you can turn a system on and make right. you know, and convert accounts. But it was about, what does this project mean for your career? Mm-hmm. And how do we make sure that whether it's a promotion mm-hmm. or whether it's a positioning for the next thing on your career trajectory,
right.
you know, what does this mean for the big picture for you? Those are the tough questions that really weren't part of what I was called to do. Those were part of our conversation. And I do, and I remember, you know, I've had the opportunity to be in two different Accenture offices where there was, you know, substantial diversity challenges and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cases really kind of start from being one of the only African Americans in the room to not being frustrated with that, but seeing it as an opportunity and taking and literally grabbing the hand of the firm
yeah.
and taking it across town to the Atlanta University Center mm-hmm. and showing the richness of the melanin that exists over there
right.
and opening up our, you know, understanding of how to connect with students that have amazing contributions to make to a point where we started diversity initiatives. I had the unique pleasure of working with one of my very good friends, Jackie Welch, and we started a diversity initiative around African Americans' emotions, and we developed mentoring programs.
Right.
I mentored so many people, Erin. I used to have to keep them on a sheet, and I called it the birthday club. I would meet with people on the date of their birthday every month. And there are a few people that are chuckling when they read about this because it absolutely is the way that I kept track of all these mentors.
Right.
When it came time for me to figure out like what I wanted to embrace
yeah.
passionately for myself, it was kind of a no-brainer. Like it wasn't just sitting on the surface, but I needed to think about the things that I did that weren't necessarily part of my job that I loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was this mentoring, this recruiting, mm-hmm. it was this coaching. So framing up this thing, so framing this up, and then I've all, even in the context of my work, I was always strategic. You know, so taking those things and packaging them in offerings that people didn't really get at first.
Right.
I had to live through some barren years waiting on people to get it.
Right.
And now we've grown. We've had enough success stories of working, pointing people in the right direction, collaborating with people. And a lot of times, I can't accept credit for example, you know, the path that you went down around encouraging others and scaling the way that you encourage others. Like, that's not me. That's me just having a collaborative conversation and bringing the package of those services to our conversations to be able to frame it up in a meaningful way. You know, what
people I also think you're being a bit generous because it wasn't always collaborative. Sometimes you had to fight me to believe.
I like a good fight, though. You know it by now.
For me to believe certain things, you know, but we can get to that later. But
the one thing, though, that I do think is helpful. I remember, I mean, and when you talk about, you know, it's things that happened that were foreshadowing. And I don't know if you ever shared this story. But I think one of the most amazing stories is how when you shared with me when you were younger and how your mother encouraged you.
Yes.
You had to deal with bullying and how she would blindly place these notes for you to discover during the day to encourage you through the day.
Yes.
That story, first of all, I love your mom to death. I think everybody should know that. Love your mom, right? And if you meet her, you'll love her.
A lot of people love my mama. She's such a good mama.
Ooh, she really is. I mean, but that story, if nothing else, tells you that. But beyond that, for you to have that experience and to know what that meant to your own success, and then to take, okay, my mama's notes, I might not be able to tuck a bunch of little notes in people's pockets.
Oh, no, I would try.
But I can create a meme.
Yes.
Oh. And I can spread it on social media channels, and I can find people that are encouraging people, and I can bring them on a live cast and talk to them for an hour, and somebody will walk away. So I completely get it. That's the part of the story I knew you didn't want me to tell. But
I'm glad you didn't tell too much of it. Thank you.
What does the saying say? Hold my beer.
Exactly.
Show's just started.
Thank you. Because I keep saying this is about you.
It is about me. So I appreciate that. But, you know, so I say that to say my life is the accumulation of stories like yours. Mm-hmm. And as you, the warmth in our experience of having taken that nugget of an experience and inspire the bigness of Hexagon Outsourcing Group and Honeycomb Life and the amazing work that you do in your professional career, that all is linked and all connects to that calling. I have the unique honor of serving a God that allows me to make that the profession of my life.
That's incredible. And that's incredible. And I think that's so important, which is, again, why I was excited about this, because I wanted you to, it was important for me to kind of backtrack for you to tell your story, to let people know that it's a whole bunch of us that are sitting in corporate environments, other type of work environments,
right,
that we do have these passions, we do have these strengths and these gifts, but we're somehow, in regards to work, still a little bit unfulfilled.
Right.
And that's because we have structures around us which can really net out to be amazing things to give us the skills and empower us to then take those skills and those strengths into other parts, into our next chapter or phase in our lives. Just like how you talked about, which I'm sure is just kind of one thing you've got from Accenture, but your materials are amazing. You know what I mean? They're not just professional, because I think that's the big umbrella phrase that people put on things, but they are clean, they're sleek, they're easy to understand, they're well thought out, they're orderly. So all of that excellence, not perfection, but that excellence with which that you bring to your work is really, it stands out. But none of that could be possible without the journey. And so that's why I don't want people to begrudge their journey. on where you are, but start looking for those clues and those nuggets so people can understand, so people can understand that they too can go on that path. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions if you don't mind. And as we move forward. So you said a little bit about it, about how you kind of began to look at different things that you did with Accenture and some other roles that you had, and how you kind of parlayed that into your Crescendo. And actually, before I ask that question, I just reminded myself of something. Can you tell us why you named your company Your Crescendo? Why your marquee product is named Finding Your Forte? Because I think that name is very interesting.
It's interesting, and it reflects something that I feel like it's really important for people to do. So I have, since sixth grade, been a deep music enthusiast. I played trombone through grade school, middle school, high school, into college. I had a brief experience as a drum major in college. I played in symphonic bands and had amazing opportunities to, you know, perform with excellence and get great ratings. So it's always been just kind of part of my existence. And so when I went through the process of trying to frame up how to take this thing that I wanted to do to be able to help people, it immediately came to me that I wanted to embrace this notion of a crescendo.
Gotcha.
And if you have ever had exposure to music, a crescendo means to get louder.
Mm-hmm.
Get louder. And the loud that you get at the end of a crescendo, so music heads will say, well, it is not always a forte, but the volume level that you get at the end of a crescendo is a forte. It is your loudest, strongest point. Now, you get technical and say, well, there's fortissimo and there's all kinds of other levels of forte. But layman terms, your forte is your highest level of performance as an individual, as a team, and as an organization. So then came the whole URL game of trying to find crescendo, and I was so disappointed to see someone was using crescendo, but their company had nothing to do with crescendo, and I almost reached out to this Canadian company that had it at the time. But then it occurred to me, there was an opportunity to get more specific. It's not just the crescendo, but it's your crescendo.
You own it.
And you own it, right? And we're trying to find your crescendo.
Right.
So I felt good about that. I gave myself a nice little pat on the back. We went with it. And so over the time, you know, over the years, it's so interesting because that and the name of my offerings and even the tagline, Find Your Forte, Compose Your Masterpiece, Play Your Crescendo, has existed since day one. There's so many things that have not existed since day one about the offerings, and we've grown and gotten better about some of the tools we use and the facilitation styles that we use for certain parts of the conversation. But those central things, your crescendo, your forte, have been there, and I think they will always be there.
Right, and I love that. I'm glad you told the story about why your company is named what it is. And I would just say this, because there are some people out there that would say, oh, you know, you just need to pick a product. You need to, if you're going to go in a business, you need to find something you're just going to make money and do that. But if you are unhappy doing it, like, what's the point, you know? And maybe the point of it is just money or whatever. And if that makes you happy, that's fine. That's perfect. But I want both. I want both things, you know? And I just feel like what you're teaching people, what you're trying to help people to circle around to is so important. I do believe that you said some few minutes ago when we first started is that why can't you have both? You know,
that's exactly
why not. Why do we have to go with the prevailing thought pattern on that?
And a lot of times, you know, to me, if somebody's in this mode where they're just saying, you know, focus on the business, just pick the business or whatever, and they don't want to connect it to anything that's really personal for them, to me, that's a sign that it might not be the business that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one thing that I think a lot of entrepreneurs and business professionals have to watch out for is what I call the silver penny syndrome. Somebody sees a business opportunity, they decide to take it to market. But if it doesn't connect to your gifts, It doesn't, is it at work in things that you love, or is it things that reward you? You might be able to get this business started, but you're not going to be able to sustain competition over time, mm-hmm. because they're just going to be more driven than you. Mm-hmm. And what I love is the exercise of, like we talked about with yours in the encouragement note. So I just, here's another really cool one. I recently started working with a commercial real estate, like fund developer. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how he likes to be able to come and find like a multi-unit apartment building and acquire it and make it better place for the tenants to live. And yeah, they make money because they raise the value of it. And, mm-hmm. and so this story, you can hear that there's more to it than just buying this commercial real estate. But the more I talk to him, the more I like and start to understand his story, I find out that he was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. And he was, and, you know, there's so many people that are committed to sports younger in life and kind of have to put it to the side when they decide to pursue their professional career.
Okay.
So, and you know, we're framing, we're working on this forte. And then in a session I said, when you find these when you find these apartment buildings, the ones that you can add value to by lifting up, you know, kind of what the financial stewardship of the people there, mm-hmm. you know, is there ever like a basketball court in there? And he just started thinking about, and it was in most cases some outdoor basketball court that was almost a sign that that was a building that was a good prospect for him. Like that was a sign of, you know, this is in an area that has people, and in some cases those basketball courts didn't, you know, people weren't using them, but if you could grow the area, then you get people active and thriving. And so for me, it was music. For him, it's his basketball court. Now, we haven't started building this brand, and he doesn't quite know it yet, but there's going to be personal branding that involves him holding a basketball. Mm-hmm. Just the connectedness of that to venture capitalists that he's going to be raising for these properties that he hopes to acquire.
That's incredible. Yeah, because and I think what people have to understand too is that it's okay to have it a light touch. Some people think that, oh, this big idea has to be really big all the way through my life. Sometimes it's just light touches to help you understand that connectivity. So that's pretty awesome. Right. So let's get down to, you've built this business, you've had a great career. What are either now or then? Can you speak to what kind of methodologies you use to kind of plan out your business or your career? You can speak to it at a high level, but as specific as you could be, that would be helpful.
Sure. So one of the things that I discovered early on in getting Yorkshire Know going. So, you know, it's not as if I embraced this whole coaching moniker because I had this ego that I need to coach some people.
Right.
It was the easiest way to describe the work that we needed to take a person through to discover purpose in a strategic way and then position them to, you know, kind of as their personal North Star. Like, to me, it was always frustrating to have people that were really inspirational talk about purpose and then to walk away feeling empty with that, with no way to actually
execute. Get.
And so that's why this conversation about methodology is important. So I had to develop a methodology. And the methodology I developed is partially using tools that over the years I've grown to admire. Other part was like there were big gaping voids in what we needed to know about a person. And I had to I've created assessments and diagnostics. But the methodology we use for the Finding Your Forte program is a series of facilitated discussions that's built around a framework that I have developed over time. And it kind of takes you through a strategy phase, which is what we call Finding Your Forte, and then a planning phase, which is what we call Composing Your Masterpiece, and then an execution phase is which we call Playing Your Crescendo. Mm-hmm. And in the strategy phase, we are all about trying to figure out what your most optimizable assets are. And a lot of times people aren't, some people say, I kind of know what my passions and gifts are, but when you start using the assessments and you bring to the surface things that they really haven't thought about because it's not everyday language for them, then there's the opportunity to be even more strategic. But we inventory the assets a person has, we use I'm a big fan of StrengthsFinder. I've been using it since well before I started Your Crescendo with teams that I've managed. Mm-hmm. I had to develop a passions tool, so I have a tool called From Passions to Purpose. Mm-hmm. The best motivations tool I have is one that came out of a magazine called Inc.com, and mm-hmm. there's a motivation matrix that we use. And those are things we use in the early phases. And then when there is leadership at stake for a person, yeah. we use a leadership 360 tool. Wiley's leadership practices, and they rally around these five exemplary practices of leaders. Mm-hmm. And what they look for, not necessarily leadership from the context of roles that you've been in, but leadership that showed up in behaviors that people around you had the opportunity to see, and they could say that those things showed up organically. An example would be that you cast vision for people. And you don't have to be in, you know, CEO to cast vision for people.
Sure, absolutely.
We can just be friends, and I could be having a conversation with you, and I say, I can really see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Like, think about this, Aaron. Like, in 5 years, and you know those people that do that very naturally. This assessment is exactly right. This assessment brings those things to the surface because there's more than one person that has said you brought that to the table.
Right.
We get this done with this inventory, and now we can get strategic, which is our favorite thing to do. And we got these, it's almost like if you're okay with sports analogies, it's almost like you've been given this team. And now you got these people with talents, and some are really fast, some are really strong, some are really smart. And then you can then start making decisions on what the playbook should be based right. on what you got.
Right.
One of the biggest misses people have, the biggest misses, is that people have the gift, at least the thinking, to be able to have this conversation, and they bring that best and brightest talent and intellectual capital to doing the work that they do with companies, but they won't do it for themselves.
Right, right. And so that's what I want to talk about too. So you talked about your company and kind of the strategy that you use with other people. Because I know for a fact that you are a vampire. You don't necessarily sleep. So I can literally text or call you at any time and you'd be like, hey, and I'm like, do you sleep? I really expected you to text me back later or call me later.
I take power naps.
Okay. What is your personal strategy for executing a new program or developing a new program or even kind of, you know, we have private conversations on things that I'm going to do in my business, your business. What is your, I want people to understand with you as a business owner, as a business developer, is your personal strategy for bringing things to market or ideas to market?
So for me, that is the exciting part of my business. Almost to a fault, meaning I'm a big idea guy and I have a tendency to get a bunch of ideas in flight at a time, right? When you mm-hmm. should really be focused. If any of you have ever been in the innovation space, you know that there's stages and gates processes to take ideas through a funnel or pick the ones that are feasible. I don't really have that.
I want you to talk about your process. Yes.
As much as I have stood up that process for other clients, I just kind of like a good idea because the one thing that I have is a bias for action.
Yeah.
And I am quick to take an idea that I think will be good, and I'm very resourceful, so I'll pick an Aaron, Rock, Danielle, and put the right smart people in the room and have a panel discussion and put an event right out and let people buy it. And so the next thing you know, we've had a forum. Oh, okay, right. Now that's a think tank that there's some execution behind it. And so I think my bias for action is the thing that fuels my innovation because, you know, okay. I'm definitely not afraid to fail. I could tell you, I could tell you of some pretty prominent failures that I've had.
Still here.
And I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to know. I think if I could pull a couple of things out from what you just said. One, I think everybody thinks that there's one process. Right. That you have to your point. You get some ideas, you get them down, you get people to talk about them, you run them through a funnel, you write it out, da-da-da-da-da. And some people don't think that way. Mm-hmm. Some people are blue ocean people. Some people are big picture thinkers. And yet we, and people that are very systematic and regimented, somehow you have entrepreneurs and business owners that still succeed in spite of all these things. And right. So one of the comments that I want to point out is that you can succeed no matter how you do things. Just find how you do it like you do, and then do it. Most importantly, do it. And so, exactly. And so, like, the series of quotes / posts that I'm putting out today is about that. In anticipation of our talk today, they're really just one word things. Create, explore, because everything isn't a whole bunch of words for people.
Right.
It's different ways to do things. And so I wanna pull that out and let people know that whatever you decide to do, how you do it is okay. The important thing is to do it. So I just wanna, you know, put that out there.
That you can, yeah, you cannot say that loud enough. And I'm so glad that you brought that to the surface.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. I think I saw the create ones with the color pencils. I can't wait for you to actually give me some branding help, because I just think the way that
I told you, Reggie, don't make me yell at you on the call. I told you I was going to help you. You got to sit down and do it.
You said you're going to help me, but you haven't helped me. I don't understand.
We got to set time. I would love to.
Don't make me call your mom. But okay.
Well, she's on here, so you can just.
Mom? Aaron won't help me with my brand. Please.
You're terrible. I will. I promise. Thank you. And so, I think that's a really good segue into this question around what are you, if you love using StrengthsFinder, you've been using it for years. I use a tool that is very important to me with people, and that's the SWOT analysis. And I try to make it real personal. We use it in business all the time. I try to use it personally. What would you say are your biggest strengths and opportunities, and how do you manage your opportunities?
So as a strength, I mean, beyond the StrengthsFinder ones, I'm just going to say I'll talk about the ones that in the way they show up the market. Yeah. I easily connect with people. And that's a little hard to understand when you, couple it with, I'm really an introvert, but I thrive for, hunger for meaningful connections with people. So you can take me to an event last night. There was all kinds of, you know, campaign watch parties like that. Just the notion of that just made me stressful. You could tell me there was a corner with three people sitting that I could have a meaningful conversation with about the election, I would have been all there and said nothing until I got to that table. So just the ability to be able to connect to people in a meaningful way is a strength for me. You know, I am a pretty faithful guy. And so what that means is I am okay with a fail. So I have a bias for action, which means, you know, it brings a certain bit of courage to, I mean, just the recognition that of all the things, I haven't really had a major failure in a way that kind of was a setback. And I thought, you know, wow, I never should have done that. Like any failures, I'm kind of on Team Oprah's perspective. There's no such thing as failures, and they're nothing. They're only corrections. They're only that point you closer to what you're doing. So I really appreciate that. So those are the things. Is it just strengths you want me to talk about? Do you want me to talk about
that? And a couple opportunities so we can remain humble.
So the opportunities is still on the good side. You may want me over on the threat side.
But no, please don't bring my HR into it. One of my pet peeves is when people say their opportunities or their gaps or their weaknesses, whatever you want to call it, and try to frame them in a good light. We all have them. So let me kick off.
I definitely have them. I'm definitely impatient.
Yeah.
Let's see. I am fearful when it comes to scaling sometimes.
Really?
I don't think I did very well. So for the maturity of my business, I believe that by now I should have had a team with, you know, that's been, you know, engaged in a way that's full time, and my engagement with people. So I'm really passionate about my relationship with clients. And so that relationship, like, I have this thing where I figure out how to have clients help me with work to deliver work, like once they kind of gone through the experience. And so that to me is an opportunity, is to be a bit more assertive in my scaling.
But one of the things that I think is great about that, which is why I was going to push you a little bit, is the notion of self-awareness. And to be self-aware enough to know your opportunities and know your gaps, and then work to, and I'm of strength finders mentality, work on your strengths first and your opportunities. But I mean, it's fine to work on your opportunities, but not over rotate on them. Not unless they're character issues. I mean, if they're character issues, you need to go talk to somebody and get close to that. But what I'm talking about, just everyday kind of gaps and working or whatever, you know, you can lose so much energy and strength on trying to focus on those instead of just working in your gifts and your strengths. But it's good to know them, and self-awareness is key, so they don't become derailers, right? You know? And so that, you know, so from that perspective. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you being transparent and candid.
Yeah, like I said, I'm team full disclosure. So if there's anything else you want to know, I'm happy to share.
Well, to that end, what I want to do is I want to open it up. If there's anybody on the broadcast that has any questions, you have a huge opportunity to ask questions of this gentleman, of Reggie Hammond, who is the founder and managing partner of Your Crescendo, who does for a living help people find their purpose in their work, in their life. And so, especially in these days and times that we're in, you know, where things are a little uncertain, things are a little unsure, I think not only economics drive that, technology drives it, politics drives it, it's a lot of things that are driving uncertainty. It's good to have your footing and surety of self to know what you want to bring to the world. So if this is a huge opportunity for you to ask questions, I hope people will ask questions. Feel free to chime in. I'll be looking over for those questions that we can get in. I think Reggie has Facebook up too, so he can see as well. But as people start thinking about their questions and want to ask their questions, one of the big things that I'd like to know is, you spend so much time helping people develop, hone ideas, bring their strengths to bear, bring their purpose to bear. How do you ensure that you're still personally developing yourself? What do you do?
Man, so that sounds like you knew there was a weakness and I didn't say it and you just went for the judgment. I don't know that I do a great job of it, to be honest with you. There are some, like, for example, I've kind of accepted, I do speaking engagements, you know, a few and far between, and I'm very precious about the environment and the topic but I've always envisioned myself as the person you, like, once a great speaker has inspired you, I'm the person you come see when you get ready, to work, right?
Yeah.
So I do think there's an opportunity for me to be, you know, to develop as a speaker.
Okay.
Now, part of me is the thing that, you know, kind of echoes for me is that, you know, kind of the mantra to stay in your lane, right?
Yeah.
You know that, you know, maybe that's not, I don't know, I wrestle with that a lot. But that's one thing that I think is an opportunity to develop. I see on the horizon that I, at least I am planning to create more partnering opportunities with clients. Okay. And so I think that is an exciting development opportunity. My impatience thing happens sometimes in interpersonal relationships in ways that I'm not excited about.
I love how you put that. In ways I'm not excited about. So really, that's just like when people use the word interesting, you know? Yeah, yeah.
I just don't need that right here.
You don't need to say any more about it. We're good with it. It's okay. Again, really good to be self-aware. Again, for those that are on a broadcast, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, please let us know. And then for those of you who will watch this broadcast later, because that happens a lot too, I get a lot of questions after the broadcast, and I'll be tagging you, Reggie, when people listen to it, when they're cooking or when they're getting the kids ready for bed, that they will sometimes ask questions in the comments. And so
I thought of one thing that I feel like is the most detrimental development opportunity for me.
Okay.
I have always been of the business development mindset where I will position an opportunity for you and I only position opportunities that I feel like are mutually beneficial. And yes. If you don't take it, it's take it or leave it.
Right.
I've seen people that are just absolute beasts in the business development mode. Yeah. And they are so much more assertive in going after relationships and contracts and opportunities. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to have some amazing connections with an organization. Sometimes it's just baffles me that you can kind of name a company, I can tell you somebody that's there. Mm-hmm. But I don't always execute on the business development that would bring those on as clients. I'm a little less aggressive, and it kind of goes back to the introversion thing, but so that I think is amazing. I think that is a great development opportunity for me. I just kind of said, I really wish I had a great business development person and I could just give them all this steak to eat and they could just chomp. They could just chomp that.
Right.
I really do feel like I have the relationships to have a really successful, business development person, kind of eat on. Mm-hmm. But in terms of me doing it, I've tried all things, having routines, having time in the day. But I'm really good when it comes to responding to someone has a need. But in terms of going out to find people's needs,
I think you really connected it. Because, Sharon is on. Hey, Sharon. Hey. So, and literally, I just thought about you today, Sharon. Literally just thought about you today. Anywho. So, but what I was going to say is you can actually connect those two pieces back together. Because earlier you said, you want to scale, you don't know how. And sometimes we try to be all things, And maybe it is that business development person that you needed. You can just
connect those two pieces back together. Because earlier you said,
I'm echoing,
you want to scale, you don't know how. And sometimes we try to be all things. And maybe it is that business development person that you needed. You can just connect those two
pieces. Do you hear the echoing?
I'm echoing, you want to scale, you don't know how. And sometimes we try to be all things.
Is that better?
That is a lot better.
I was the problem.
You were the problem.
Can we put that on my development list? If you
I'm going to be messing up Aaron's broadcast.
I'll echo up in there.
Because you're doing things over there. Anyway.
I wanted to see Sharon too, so I opened up the window in the
apartment. Oh, you opened up the window. Okay. All right. Now this broadcast is taking a turn. Anyway, so as we begin to wrap, I knew this was going to be a fun one. As we begin to wrap up, I want to ask you a final question, and then I'm going to ask you to kind of give people your what I call your social medias. But I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. I want to know. You look nervous. I don't know why you look nervous. I want to know, what do you want your professional legacy to be?
That's big and it's easy because I think about this kind of stuff all the time.
I know you do because you're the purpose guy.
I really want to inspire a viral movement of getting the world on purpose. I feel like at the root cause of so many so many of our world's woes are people that are not operating in their purpose. It can be as close and tangible for us as colleagues that hate their job. They're sitting in the car painfully, you know, holding on to the last minutes of freedom before they have to go to a job that they have become a prisoner to,
right,
because of its provision for their family and the lack of courage they have to embrace work that might be more meaningful for them. Mm-hmm. It could be as far away as, you know, wayward citizens that may have gotten caught up in prison pipelines that when you encounter them, you immediately see the gifts that they've been given that were supposed to be able to provide for their purpose, and it never had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
And when I hear those experiences, I feel like I actually personally feel like I'm not doing my job. I'm supposed to create that world where everybody has the opportunity to connect in their purpose. And so, yeah, I'm scaling. You know, like I started out as executive coaching mode, you know, kind of to be able to have a sustainable business to do it. And then I've kind of ventured into doing peer group coaching so that you can get people there. But for me, it's important to kind of take it to the next level. So I'm working on an app for you to go through Forte through a personal. I feel like a lot of times people might not engage finding your Forte because it means getting very vulnerable with another person. So what if you could do it like in the privacy of your own home or on your own app? So to me, it's really important to be able to scale getting on purpose. And that's my legacy, is to get the world on purpose, because I feel like the collective impact of that is mind-boggling. It's a world of, it really is creating heaven on earth.
I love it. Yeah. That is an exceptional answer. And I knew you would be ready to answer it. I know it was inside of you. Yeah. So with that, I just want to thank you so much. We are at the top of the hour, and I like to keep these. I know.
Gotta go.
Yes. But I do. I would just want to say that while I'm wrapping up, if there are any burning questions that you would like to ask on how do you find your purpose, what are some things that you can start doing now to get on that path? I also want you to look at the notes for the show right here. You can click on the link to Reggie's Finding Your Forte program, his marquee program for your crescendo. I've been through it. I endorse it. I think it's an incredible program. It's gotten me to think about myself in different ways. It's helped change some thought patterns that I thought I had, and I'll say this. I do have to say this because I tell people this all the time. It's something that you told me that I shan't forget. I shan't. Yes, exactly. and I remember you, and I probably at one of these moments glowered at you. Is that the word? Kind of like gave you a look.
You know what? I don't know if it's a word, but I knew exactly what you meant when you said
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes. It wasn't a style, but I did this. But anyway, you told me, you were like, you know what your problem is, Aaron, because you're, don't do that. Close your eyes. Don't act surprised that you would say that to me. You said, do you know what your problem is, Aaron? And I was like, which one now, you know? And you said, and it was a compliment, backhanded, albeit, but it was, you said, you're good at so many things. Your problem is you're good at so many things that you, if you're not careful, will be pulled in so many different directions, and people will have you believing that you should do this and you should do this and you should do this because they want you to do it, not because it's what your purpose is and what you're destined to do. And so that you, yeah, you did it. And I'll never forget it because it helps me now kind of think through opportunities. It helps me think through advice from people that I really, really, really respect, that have done extremely well in business, that have done well in any of their chosen professions. And so I have to use my purpose filter. That's what I call it. I have to use my purpose filter to make sure that it's in line with what I know to be true for me. And that authenticity that I talk so much about in my broadcast, that I post about. And so I, you know, I'm saying that to anyone who's listening, that it's important that, you know, I know many of you, that are my Facebook friends, that you're my actual friends, or I've experienced or talked to most of you. But be careful when you really are a highly skilled individual. Be careful when you do have many gifts and talents. And this is not a horn toot. I believe that most of us do have many things that we're good at. Be careful that it's not the flavor of the day that's pulling you in that direction, and that you stay on purpose. Reggie is a person that can help you do that. So I encourage you to reach out to him and find him on his social medias, as I like to call it. Reggie, what are your social medias?
They're really pretty easy. The toughest part about my social medias is knowing how to spell Crescendo.
Okay, well, spell it out for us.
So all my tags, I've been fortunate to be able to have Your Crescendo as my Facebook page. It is my Instagram page. It on LinkedIn, you kind of have to go to Reggie Hammond. LinkedIn doesn't do the company thing well, so...
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
But Twitter is Your Crescendo. So it's YourCrescendo. And if you ever need help with Crescendo, it's an easy Google, you know, if it's not a word. But you know what I find, Aaron, is that particularly in the professional realm, at least half the people have had some exposure to music and they know how to spell Crescendo. Yes. So I start spelling it out and they start looking at me like, man, you think I know how to spell Crescendo?
Right. Well, the other thing that I am fond of telling people when people ask me many questions is like, you know, it's this thing, we live in this year called 2017. Right. And it's a thing called Google. And right. It's a thing called the internet. I put it like the past on it. And so... you just go in there and you can find almost anything you want. So just go and Google Your Crescendo. And if you have a problem finding him, obviously you're connected to me. If you're not connect with me on Hexagon Outsourcing on Instagram, Hexagon OG, that's the page that you're on right now.
Hog it up.
Hog, exactly. And that's intentional. Hog it all up. Get everything you can get out of this life.
Hog it up.
Get it the right way, but get everything you can get. Anyway, with that, do you have any parting words, any parting advice for our audience?
No, hog it up. I mean, this has been an amazing experience. Thank you so much for this conversation. I continue to be inspired as I watch you and your brand flourish and do such amazing things for the people that you have the opportunity to connect to. So thank you for being committed to your purpose. I really do. Appreciate it. As the guy who holds himself personally accountable for everybody.
Personally accountable.
On purpose, you're at least doing your part. And so thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate it. And with that, guys, we are going to say good evening, good night, do your best. And listen, what I always say, remember, your destiny is waiting for you. And so are we. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay, we're off live stream.
All right.
Live
stream. This is recording.
Let me see. Let me watch it. Okay, your arms up is classic, and that's how it ended. It literally stopped with your arms up in the air. That is so funny. Awesome. So, yeah, so what did you think?
I thought it was great. You did an amazing job. I would like to get the audio file because I want to get it to my podcast for next week.
Okay. Yeah, you might have to chop it up because we recorded from the time we started until, yeah, it's in the cloud. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right, my dear.
Thank you, man.
All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye, you too.